Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Veterans Day, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road, and no place we'd rather be on Veterans Day. We're at the Mississippi Military Museum on the grounds of Camp Shelby. Such a great facility here, and appreciate the tour we got earlier this morning. Lee Roberts going to be joining us a little later in the program to talk about Saturday's game against Marshall. Steve Knight, head basketball coach at William Carey University, kicking off another year, and Coach Knight joining us later in the show as well. And we are obviously going to get to Southern Miss football. Kelly, real quick before we bring Tommy Lofton on, your thoughts. Just another bad day and what is just a bad year. I don't know if any other word to say it.
Well, three statistics jump out. Three interceptions thrown by Ethan Crawford. The Eagles gave up 526 total yards, and they only got 183 yards of offense. And there has been a coaching change, which we'll talk about. Not a head coaching change, but we'll talk about some shifting on the assistant coach front a little bit later on.
Offensive coordinator Chip Long gone. Right. That's what Kelly's referring to. Ethan Crawford, I mean, I don't know, 5 of 18, 3 interceptions, 70 yards passing. I mean, you're not going to win any games doing that.
And then people will go, well, why don't you try John White, or why don't let some other guys in? At this point, what is there to lose? You know, find out. There are so many unanswered questions that the new man is going to have to come in and going to be busier, as they say, than a one-arm paper hanger when they get that job.
Tommy Lawford is the director of the Mississippi Military Museum. Any truth to the rumor you're going to take the job?
I am not. You're not at all.
You like it better here, don't you?
I love working here.
I don't blame you a bit. Hey, we're down here for Veterans Day. It's an annual deal. Gerard Gibbert was here earlier with his show, and I don't know, Tommy, every time I walk through the museum, there are new things to see. We were looking at the new rifle that was just added. And then you told us something interesting. You said you had two warehouses full of stuff.
Yeah, we've got more stuff than we have room to display right now. And our hope and goal is what we're working toward, actually, is relocating the museum right outside the gate on Highway 49 here in the near future. And be able to get more of those items out of a warehouse and in front of the people so that folks can come through. And we've got things from like cannons from the Revolutionary War through more modern vehicles tied to a global war on terror, stuff like that. So lot more cool things to see that we just don't really have the space.
It would be a great expansion in size as well, we hear.
For sure. I think our current display space is about 20,000 square feet. We're hoping to go significantly larger than that to be able to build for now, but also for the future. You know, and we never want to get into any further wars, but there's always going to be hurricanes. There's always going to be other things that the Mississippi National Guard especially is tied into, and some of our active duty units and Mississippians who go off and serve aboard ships and in different air units and other things across the world. So we want to be able to have plans for the future. We can't add on to our current facility because we're pretty landlocked where we're at. So that's our long-term goal, is to continue to improve.
Just the weapons that you have in here. I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Uh-oh.
Put a
value. It's not even baseball season yet, Bob. Come on.
Put a value on them.
That I can't do.
It would really be priceless.
Yeah, I mean, everything we have is so priceless. It's hard to even imagine, you know, that kind of thing. Nor, we don't really try to do that too much with our type of museum either. But, you know, to me, It's interesting to walk through here and see all of the heroes that come from this state and have served this state and our nation. And it's, if you haven't been out here, please, we're open today till 4 o'clock. We're usually closed on Mondays, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 to 4, and we're a free asset. There's so many school teachers we've started to talk to that said they didn't even know we were here, and they were passing us to go other places for field trips.
No need to do that.
No, come by here. I mean, you've got the capability to do this museum and other things on post that are fun.
And with this generation, the generation of kids coming up, they are so visual. You know, they don't believe anything unless they can see it. They can, you know, you can't touch necessarily the displays. But, and every time that I've been through it, Bob, I learned something different.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't know that, Senator John McCain from Arizona, that his family, his father is from Mississippi. The whole McCain group is from Mississippi. I didn't know that we had people on the SS Cole that were Mississippians were on the SS Cole when it was bombed, that the Cole was repaired at Ingalls Shipyard, that we lost Mississippians in the attack of 9/11.
Mississippians at Pearl Harbor. I mean, we've got a huge history of service within our state and patriotism, and it's important we take days like today to remember that the freedoms we have and that we enjoy as a nation, there is a price that is paid by blood or otherwise by men and women who wear the uniform of any of the service branches within the United States.
I know it's about a year old, but I went right to the exhibit, the young woman, the young lady.
Casey Casanova?
The first young woman from Mississippi to give her life in the Afghanistan or Iraq. Those kind of things, man, you see them right there in front of you. Kelly, you're right. It's emotional. I mean, you kind of feel the loss.
And a lot of them, if you read the biographies, a lot of them are buried nearby.
True.
You know, not far at all. A Roy Wheat, the post office on North 30 or South 40th, is buried in East Abuchi, just in Jones County.
Correct. You know, his Medal of Honor burial.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many heroes in these halls and people who are buried around the state, and that some of them, you know, came back and got into politics and into business and other things. So it's interesting to see what they did and how they gave back, you know, even after their military service.
Roy Wheat is such a great example. Yeah. Here's a young man who was 21, 22 years old. Jumps on a hand grenade that was thrown in the vicinity of him and some of his buddies and gave his life up. And I don't know, Tommy, I kind of had this discussion with a professor a few years ago. I think buildings on campuses like Southern Miss, instead of being the Thad Cochran Center, should be the Roy Wheat Center. I mean, that's just my opinion. Those are the real heroes. And you've got a collection that represents and honors many of them here.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have such a major collection of Mississippi heroes here in these halls, and hope folks will come out and see this stuff.
Yes, one thing positive that I want to talk about Camp Chevy, you and I were talking, I think it's so cool, and that's the baseball team. And you guys are going to be doing that this year with the baseball team.
Our hopes to work again with the baseball team. For those that may remember seeing that this past season, we had special Camp Shelby jerseys made and worked with the team on that. And that's something that we're hoping to make more of a tradition or to see come back this year. That was from the Camp Shelby All-Star team that was here in World War II.
Which you said had some Major League Baseball players on.
Yes, yeah. Each of the units had their own team or teams, and including the 442nd. And some of these teams had Major League Baseball players who either were drafted or actually volunteered to serve in World War II. And we actually have some images where some of them are wearing even the Camp Shelby jerseys, and then they have, you know, Red Sox caps on or New York Yankees or whatever team they were affiliated with. So it's cool to see at that time what baseball players were doing, and and that's, you know, they were doing a lot of exhibition games and different things on the coast. They were doing stuff in downtown Hattiesburg area. They were traveling up to places like Vicksburg or even, I think, to Baton Rouge and playing there, and Mobile and other military teams, other military bases. And it was all just an effort to give the public baseball at a time when it needed it the most, because everything else was surrounding the war and people's loved ones were gone overseas or in service somewhere else in the States. And it gave folks a chance to take their minds off of what was going on in the national and world level and just enjoy some America's pastime.
And as far as the name Camp Shelby goes, I just assumed it was named after a Mississippian, but a Kentucky guy.
Yeah, one of our Kentucky, a hero, one of our heroes from the Revolutionary War, War of 1812. The first soldiers who came here and were building buildings were from the state of Kentucky, and that's basically, long story short, how it became Camp Shelby itself. And, Bob, you're talking about baseball. Something I do want to point out is if folks get by campus and happen to stick your head in the visitor Veterans Center there, visit that on campus, a beautiful facility there. Stop in and say hello to Jeff Hammond. And check out in the interior, we actually have a special display in there right now with a divisional football trophy from a football game played in 1941, if I remember correctly, right there in the Rock. Between U.S. Army soldiers. It was another big, you know, fun deal. They did it for several games, several years there, but we just recently took the trophy back to campus, and so it's there on display. And if folks happen to go by the Veterans Center, yeah, go in there and
you were at that
go in
game,
and see that.
I was, and it was a glorious memory.
I'll bet you this. I'll bet it was hard-hitting as hell. That's yeah. what I want to bet.
The stands were packed. I'll say that, too. It was quite interesting to see the amount of people inside the Rock at
that. Maybe we can get that team back.
I think we maybe could.
Join us before we leave.
I will do,
All
yes.
right, Tommy Lofton's the director of the Mississippi Military Museum. We're honored to be out here on Veterans Day. Lee Roberts going to recap Marshall Southern Miss next. You can stick around and listen to that if you'd like.
Take care.
We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Our thanks to all the veterans that may be tuned in this afternoon. We sincerely appreciate your service. For me, it's a great Veterans Day. I started my day off with a phone conversation with my son this morning, who's an Air Force veteran, and obviously called to thank him for his service. He tells his father, "You don't have to thank me, Dad." And I thought, "Yes, I do. Absolutely, yes, I do." And so we're grateful. We're grateful to all the veterans. That's why we're at Camp Shelby. We're at the Mississippi Military Museum with our good friend Tommy Lofton, and another great friend joins us today, Lee Roberts. And I kind of picked at you this morning, Lee. I said, "This is the test of true friendship," and you've proven to be a true friend. You're still coming on every Monday to analyze the game. And I don't know, Lee, just another bad performance. The team right now, fair to say, just not very competitive.
Man, it's just a combination, obviously, of a lot of different things. I mean, I truly don't know what's going through their heads. I'm glad I never had to experience that as a player. However, I did have, you know, two different offensive coordinators while I was there, but never lost a head coach. And it's just not an easy situation. You just hope that these guys just can try to finish out this season. But the last thing I want to see is some of these guys maybe, you know, skipping out on the next few games, because, you know, for some of them, this will be the last time they ever suit up a uniform, and you just hate for them to go out that way. But, yeah, just not very competitive on Saturday. Again, too many mistakes on both sides of the football. Offensively, we just never really could get anything going. And, you know, probably one of his worst days of as a Golden Eagle, throwing the football, wasn't very effective running the football. Again, just really could just never get anything going.
Yep. I was listening to you and John, and at one point of the game, and I forget the exact scenario, but there was a pretty big play in Southern Miss's favor, and it got called back with a penalty. And I heard you comment on on how much that's plagued the team all year. You get something positive, and then there's a penalty that calls that back. That's got to be frustrating for everyone involved with the program.
Yeah, multiple plays on Saturday, whether it was a penalty or just an overturned call. I don't know if I've ever been in a situation where two calls go our way and they go to review and now they're overturned. You know, so that happened twice in Saturday's game. One being, you know, the muffed punt, and that's just kind of an odd rule there. You know, it was technically not a interference where, you know, our defender got in that 1 yard donut, but, you know, the receiver has to have a chance to catch the football when he muffs it. If it's in the air, technically has to hit the ground before, you know, Southern Miss can recover it. But, man, that ball jumped right into the arms of Southern Miss. We thought it was a big play. Thought it was going to be a little swing of momentum. Another big play, Ty Mims catches a deep ball, a very good thrown ball by Ethan, and a ball that was, I thought, was caught again. And, you know, on review, they say that, you know, he didn't maintain possession as he hit the ground. And, you know, so that's just a couple there that just kind of stand out. But that's just two of many on the season. So, yeah, it's been a plagued year as far as that goes. I mean, big plays called back and just not to be able to overcome some of those adversities.
Lee, I want to talk about the quarterback situation because everybody, you know, that always seems to be the position everybody wants to talk about. But now the Eagles certainly not bowl eligible. They're looking for a win. Ethan did not have a good game with three interceptions. The big question now is, well, why doesn't Coach Stringer, and I'm not asking you to speak for him, but what would be what do you tell people when they say, why don't we try some of these other guys and give them a shot and see if the results might be any different?
So here's the scenario, and this is going to play out with a lot of different players, so especially some of these youngsters that, you know, maybe have played in four games and may have the opportunity to still get a red shirt. You know, if there's something else to be played for, like an opportunity to become bowl eligible, an opportunity to win a conference championship, you might would see some of these. So, you know, you asked about the quarterback. So John White, he's played in two games. He played in the South Florida game. He played in the Jacksonville State game, so he's got two games left and still could get that red shirt, so we'd have four full years of college football. So we have three games to play. You're going to see John White over the next three games, at least in two of those, I would anticipate. Jalen Washington, the running back that, you know, we've talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks, you know, he now has played in his fourth game, so there's a conversation that Coach Stringer will have to sit down with him and say, hey, you've hit your limit of four games you can play. You won't get that red shirt. You know, kind of what do you want to do there? So that's the reason. Yeah, you can still maybe get Tate Rodemaker out there to, you know, change things up. But as far as seeing John White, I think you would only see him in two more games out of the next three.
Well, then the question becomes, too, and I don't know how you qualify this, Lee, is players then, if, you know, with the uncertainty at this point of the future that the Southern Miss football program is going to head in, do you anticipate losing many guys, transfer portal guys, you know, going into there, and, you know, what will Southern Miss have left coming back next year based on this year's performance?
Right. No, yeah, so obviously, you know, when Coach Will Hall was fired, these players had 30 days to jump into the portal. I think that day closes on November 22nd, so 11 days remaining of that time frame. And, you know, if they don't jump in the portal, then they have to wait till the portal opens back up in, you know, as far as the national portal opening or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, I think it's good that we haven't seen more guys jump in the portal yet. They want to finish the year. They want to kind of see who the next coach is and what's going to happen with this program. A lot of these guys, whether they came here as freshmen or came here as transfers, they came here for a reason, and that was to play in a style of football that's fun, and a tradition filled school, and a program that's rich. They've got a lot of tradition, and they want to finish it out that way, and they want to see again who that next guy is going to be and how they fit in that system. And, you know, so I hope we don't lose anybody, you know, in the next 11 days, and hopefully the new coach can come in and retain the majority of the folks that he would like to. So you'd like to keep as much intact as possible.
All right, we have to ask you while we have you on our show, are you hearing any names of anybody that they're talking to about being the head coach?
No, I'm really not. I'm not just saying that. I have not heard. I mean, what you guys hear and see on Twitter from fans is really all I know as well. I mean, there's a lot of names out there and a lot of good names. But yeah, I have no insight, so can't give you any any leeway there. Okay. So unfortunately,
well, join us, brother. We're all. I'll tell you one thing about Jeremy McClain. He said at the press conference, the next thing you hear from me will be when I introduce the coach, and Jeremy's held to that.
And Lee, with the assistants, with none of the assistants coming back next year, why make a move now with the OC? Just speculation. Why do you think that move was made? Considering really none of the assistants you would think are coming back anyway.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. I mean, maybe it was just I really can't even speculate. I mean, the only thing I can say is just that the production Saturday offensively was just not very, just 200 yards of offense. And I mean, it's unacceptable. I know Chip Long, I meet with Chip just about every week talking about the upcoming game. And you know, he's been frustrated all year long because they felt like they've had a good plan, they've had a good system, guys just not making plays. And he's like, I'm tired of talking about execution. He said, it's just these guys have just got to get out there and make the plays. And so I'm not really sure what happened outside the fact that we just didn't play well Saturday.
Well, I saw that Saturday. I saw some slant patterns that O-line blocks, kid throws the ball, hits a receiver right in the hands, Lee, and they drop it. So, I mean, you can't put everything on Ethan Crawford.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, we completed, you know, five passes, and, you know, if you look at the drops, I know of at least two drops, one being, you know, that long pass that was overturned, and then another a slant pass. So, yeah, I mean, kids have got to – they've got to catch the ball when it comes their way. And that's where Ethan doesn't make a great play. These guys are recruited because they're athletic and they can go up and make a play. They, you know, they haven't made that big play. We don't make the easy plays and we don't make that game-changing play either. And teams just have to do that if they're going to be great.
You know, one of the questions everybody asks is, why hasn't this season, what has gone wrong? But this has never been asked, Lee. Could it be, not mentioning any specific names, but could it be we just weren't very good judges of talent overall? Are these guys good enough when we thought they were?
I mean,
maybe they're not.
I really felt like when we started the year that we were as talented as we've been in a while. And maybe that is the case. And, you know, defensive line, I felt like we had a lot of guys back. I know we haven't played great there. We lost a lot at the linebacker core. We've had some guys step up. Secondary, we've made a lot of mistakes. I mean, we just – defensively, we haven't tackled. You know, we haven't fit our gaps like we need to. Offensively, we just we really can't open up big holes running, and we haven't protected the quarterback well. So maybe that is the case. I thought we were a little more talented when I saw us the beginning of the year, but when we match up against others, that may be 100% true.
Well, on a bright note, Lee joins us every week, and we always enjoy our conversations with you, my friend, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show next week.
Hey, sounds good, guys. Y'all have a great one. Appreciate what you do, and appreciate the day as well. So that's a great thing to do for you guys, so appreciate that.
Right. All right, Lee Roberts, everybody. When we come back, this guy don't know anything about losing, Steve Knight, winningest basketball coach in history of Mississippi. And there is a tie with William Carey and Camp Shelby, and we're going to address that as well. More from the Super Talk Eagle Hour at Camp Shelby, Mississippi next.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour broadcasting from Camp Shelby, the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum. I've been saying the Mississippi Military Museum, but it actually is the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum here at Camp Shelby. Coach Steve Knight is joining us. He is the head basketball coach at William Carey. And also on the show is Colonel Mark Price. And before we get to basketball, Coach, the colonel down here is telling me that we're here on Veterans Day. We're here every Veterans Day. And Colonel Prine told us that there is a connection between William Carey and Camp Shelby. Tell us real quickly, Colonel, and then we'll get the coach on the air.
Sure. During World War II, the federal government leased out William Carey's campus and used it for housing of military personnel and also used it as a training area for officers there. So from 1942, I believe, through late 45 into early 46, the campus just was actually a part, an extension of Camp Shelby. We've got records of people living in the dorms. We've got them lists of classes that were taught in Tatum Court. So it's a really close tie that we have with them.
And then the college took that government money and opened William Carey after that.
Yeah, reopened the women's college after that, and then William Carey became in the 1950s. Yep.
Were you aware of that, Coach?
I was not. That's great. That's great. That's great. Yeah, we became co-ed in 1954. So, man, that's outstanding.
Yeah, the ties between Camp Shelby. The Camp Shelby has tentacles everywhere, correct?
Yes, all over the place. I mean, especially in the recent years with the people, number of people who have trained through here, you can't go many places in the nation now and say you're from Mississippi, and somebody say, oh, yeah, I know somebody that went to Camp Shelby or somebody deployed from Camp Shelby. Yep.
Right, right. Good stuff. Coach Knight, welcome back to the show. Really do appreciate it. How many years did you tell me now this is what year?
I think this is 43.
43 years.
Yep.
Colonel, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Coach Knight is the winningest basketball coach in the history of Mississippi. Men's, women's, it doesn't matter.
I can believe it, yes. He has some really outstanding teams. I've seen him play several times.
So, Coach, I'm going to ask you the obvious question that I've been asked 10,000 times. And as many times as you've been on the show, I don't know that I've ever asked you this, but people say to me, how in the world did Steve Knight, a Hall of Fame athlete from Southern Miss, winningest basketball coach in the history of Mississippi, how in the world did Steve Knight never coach the University of Southern Mississippi? And, Coach, you would say what?
I interviewed twice for it, and here's the issue, I really think. You know, coaching searches can get real political. And it's just, I don't believe that most people want to hire a coach from a lower level who hasn't been involved in Division I either as an assistant or head coach at the D1 level. I think it has nothing to do with coaching abilities. I think it's just the fact that you're coming from an NAIA or D2, D3 even. There's great coaches out there everywhere. So I think that was a big stigma. Mm-hmm. I will say this, I had a lot of people in Hattiesburg that were pulling for me during those times.
Sure.
So it's my hometown and I never left here, and I went to Southern Miss and played basketball and baseball, had a lot of ties. But it just didn't work out, and you know, God always puts you where he wants you to be. And I'm sitting in Hattiesburg. I love it. Got grandkids around playing ball now. And that's just basically my honest answer to that is the reason.
Yeah. Well, here's Bob Getty's opinion. That goes right there beside the dumb decisions of firing Jeff Bauer, not hiring Steve Knight. Now, I don't expect you to comment on that. That's just a Bob Getty observation, Kelly Sander.
Now, Coach Knight, when you were at Southern Miss, you had the nickname Bone, B-O-N-E, Bone Knight. Have we ever talked about that story or how you got that nickname?
Well, Kelly, that's a high school nickname.
Okay.
I was 6'2", 140 pounds when I graduated high school, and so I go to USM. Everything carried over my skinniness and the nickname, and I finally made it up to 6'5", 165 by the time I graduated 4 years later from USM. So I was a bone.
Did they call you Bone the day you threw that no-hitter?
Oh, yeah.
That was your nickname on the baseball team?
Absolutely. Ask Doug.
No, I think.
I
think the team he threw it against was calling him something else.
Yes. You also played basketball when you were a guard on the team. Wasn't John Cox another guard on the team?
That was on a freshman team. Absolutely. John was point guard. I was two guard. I liked to shoot. Uh-huh. He liked to pass. So it was a great little marriage right there. John and I were really, really good friends. He came down from Middletown, Ohio, and really didn't know a whole lot of folks. So he and I kind of hung out together, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
You like to put it up from what I heard. You were not shy about throwing that shot up there when you got your hands on the ball, right, Coach?
That's exactly right. And, pretty deep, too. Pretty deep, too. And so I think that's one reason why, hey, if you're a shooter, you want to come play at William Carey, because I'm shooter shoot. I tell shooters, when you're open, shoot the basketball. So, sometimes when it doesn't go in, I kind of shake my head. But I said, hey, that's kind of our philosophy. And hopefully they'll make more than they miss.
It's worked pretty well, Coach. Not to beat a horse here, but you're the all-time winningest coach. So, obviously your philosophy has played out pretty well.
Well, thank you. We've had a lot of great players through the years, good coaching staffs. I sit there and watch all my former players that are really great high school coaches winning state championships year in and year out. My assistant coaches who are some at the high school level and some at the JUCO level. Just fantastic support through the years, and we're trying to keep it going. I'm not getting any younger now, so I need all the help I can get.
Well, with Thanksgiving coming up, the annual argument at the Knight household will go down between as to who's a better coach, Steve or Larry. Larry.
You've won that argument, right, Coach? You've settled that. Am I correct about that?
Well, I think they finally decided, it's two different sports. You can't compare it. So.
And that's where I was going with my next question. Larry, obviously a record-setting coach in his own right, and went the baseball route. You went the basketball route. And I know you've told me this story before, but the listeners maybe that aren't familiar, why, when you could have coached baseball, why did you decide upon basketball, Coach Knight?
Yeah, I did actually help with baseball at Carey. I was a pitching coach and, actually was the head coach in 85. And what I found out with baseball is, one, I think coaches have more of an effect on a basketball game than baseball coaches can have, with all the opportunities to substitute, change defenses, run different offenses, call special plays, that sort of thing. I really like that part of it. And the second part is the fact that I liked coaching a smaller number, 12 to 14 pitchers, 12 to 14 basketball players. That's what I wanted to do rather than kind of manage 35 total baseball players. So it just, for me, it was more enjoyable and a huge challenge to coach basketball.
You still follow Southern Miss very closely. I know you're a Golden Eagle, a tremendous, tremendous athlete. You, like everybody else, difficult to watch what's happening with the football program. Coach, I don't know that you've ever been involved in a season that really went south. How difficult is that on a head coach?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. Sleepless nights and not eating right, and you try to take care of yourself, but you're constantly thinking about what can I do to help things get better. And it's just really tough. And then, of course, if you bring it home with you, it's tough on your family. Nowadays, I've had some tough years where we only won 7 or 8 games, and they just grind at you. It's really, really tough on coaches. So, and now it's just even worse because you've got the social media aspect where you've got so many people who just want to get on there and voice their opinion, and they have the freedom to do that, but. My advice is for coaches, you stay away from it, because most of the time it'll only be something that's negative and then get you thinking about things you shouldn't have to think about. So focus on the team, focus on the opponent the next week, and give your best.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show and having you on Veterans Day. A special treat for us. We really appreciate your time and continued success as the winningest basketball coach in Mississippi history.
Well, and thank you, and thanks to all the veterans. We appreciate Absolutely. Our freedom because of you guys.
Coach Steve Knight, everybody. We'll be back. Wrap things up here at Camp Shelby.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour, where we are every Veterans Day. We're at Camp Shelby at the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum. Tommy Lofton, director of the museum, rejoins us along with Colonel Mark Prine, who is the Special Projects Officer for Camp Shelby. And a gentleman, I know that I speak on behalf of everyone from Steve Davenport and Kim Dillon Down in our company when I thank you for our relationship with the museum and the base here. It means a lot to us that you guys want to visit with us twice a year, and it's such an honor to tell the whole state of Mississippi about your great facility here. Colonel, you're the Special Projects Officer. Tommy runs the museum. Between it, you guys stay very busy. Real quickly, though, what is your role as Special Projects Officer?
Bob, it's one of those kind of jobs that I absolutely love having, because my one and only thing on my duty description is other duties as assigned. Mm-hmm. And so it's everything that pops up. So I get a chance to work with the museum quite a bit. I work very closely with the Mississippi Youth Challenge Academy with their activities. I work very closely with the USO that we have here on post that we helped have grown it. And then whatever happens to come up in support of troops that are coming here to train. So a little bit of everything. So yeah. It's a great job.
There's still a lot of troops are coming through here training.
Yes. We are somewhere approaching right now around 80,000 this year so far. And we still got a couple more months to go in the year. And we have another force that's coming in to train here between now and the end of the year. Somebody, like I've told people, we're probably going to set a record this year, because we normally don't have anybody here Christmas or Thanksgiving. And so this year, with it being leap year, we'll probably go 364 out of 366 days somebody training
here.
Is that
right?
Yes, sir.
Tommy, what do you want people to know about the museum? If yeah. there's one message you can get out.
That we're free and you can come visit us. A lot of people think you can't, you know, come through the gate. But if you go to South Gate, we have a visitor center there. They'll scan your ID right inside the visitor center. Takes just a couple of minutes to process that, and you come right on in the gate, and you can come to the museum and visit it.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because we did have a listener text yes. Kelly about that. There's not a problem getting on the base, correct?
No. It's a pretty standard process, going in, scanning, and again, they'll get you through the gate. You come on to the museum. It's a free museum, and we're open Tuesday mm-hmm. through Saturday from 9 to 4.
And apparently there's the scan is for a period of time. They told me this morning they scanned my driver's license. It was expired, mm-hmm. but within 3 minutes they had it yeah. renewed.
It varies, I think, from time to time.
It depends on what we've got on training-wise, how long the length of the scan is. Right now I think it's for 30 days you're good for coming on. Mm-hmm. When it's not as intense of training going on, it'll go out to about 6 months.
I got to ask you guys this. The big C-5 that flies around here all the time, mm-hmm. is it a C-5
it's
or a C-17?
C-17, yeah.
It comes over my house a lot at night. It's a great feeling. I mean, it's yeah. a feeling of protection and freedom, but Everybody sees that aircraft. What is that aircraft doing down here?
Mostly we just ask him to fly over your house constantly.
So is that right, to check on stuff? He's listening.
No, there's a well, you can answer that one.
Yeah, it's a C-17. We have a combat touch-and-go landing strip here. So what they're doing is practicing landing on very, very short runways and then taking off on those very short runways.
So that aircraft is actually landing, or is it mostly doing touch and goes?
Mostly doing touch and goes, but they also will land here and take off
Where
as well.
Where is it flying out of?
Anywhere.
All over the country?
All over the country. Most, many of them you see are Mississippi-based aircraft out of Jackson, but that strip, because of it's the only one, I believe, east of the Mississippi River, that could be easily just Mississippi or it could be Michigan. So,
yeah. I've seen some from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Really? So they use this as a in another way that the Camp Shelby's training
yes.
the military.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You got to remember, Camp Shelby's 136,000 acres on the ground, but it's also we own our own airspace up to 28,000 feet. So
is that right?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Is that the Black Hawk ride still on the table, Colonel?
Well, we can talk about that. We can see what we can work out the next time we have a
I hit Tommy
employer
up for
event.
Friday when he was. That's one of the first things I hit Tommy about.
And he walked in the door good. And he was, can I get a Black Hawk?
That, and guys, I'm going to let all our listeners know, we're collectively trying to think, how can we get President Trump here? You're going to work on that for us, right?
We're certainly going to try, yes.
As I told you this morning, I just purchased a Trumpinator bobblehead, and I want to get him to autograph that for me when he comes down here.
Get him on Eagle Hour.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Yeah. Yeah. I talk about eating the cats and the dogs. It'd be great.
Yeah, something.
It would be. I guess the military, probably, generally speaking, happy to see President Trump.
I can't speak for the military as a whole, but in general, during his previous term of office, it was a very good time for the military, yes.
They liked him a lot, didn't they?
For the support that they received, yes.
Yes, that's correct. Well, gentlemen, I think we all owe you a debt of gratitude for all that you do down here. The Camp Shelby, I've always told people that if you took the university's Camp Shelby and Hattiesburg Clinic and Forest General Hospital out of the picture, this would be a totally different community. Fair to say?
Yeah. Fair to say, yes, sir.
I would agree with
that. How many people employed down here, gentlemen?
2250 every day, Monday through Friday. But, you know, we can peak up to about 10,000 people on the ground at any given time.
Employees?
Yes.
So there's a big payroll.
Yes, there's a large payroll here, yes.
Hey, we're already looking forward to next year. And we thank you, gentlemen, very much for having us.
Thank you for coming down.
To Southern Miss to the top.
Yes. On behalf of everyone associated with the Eagle Hour and Southern Miss, our thanks to all of our veterans on this Veterans Day. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tommy, until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
There. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.